to serve Him. And so just come see us and talk to us about it. Say, man, I want to be a part. I want to get involved. And we'll find a place that God can use your talent for His honor and glory here. Amen. And so we're so thankful for that. I'm thankful for Brother Jesse and so many others that do that. And before we get the preacher up here tonight, just let me say thank you, staff. I've been gone half the week, and the place didn't fall apart. Amen. It just kept right on keeping on, and didn't even get any calls about fires or anything like that. And just everything went smooth. And I thank God's people. Thank you for praying, not just about the soul winning marathon, but hedging the place up in prayer. The devil's on the warpath, and he'd like to destroy us and hurt us and take us down. And so we need to hedge the preacher up. Thank you for praying for Pastor Carter. He's been making that drive every evening down and back and preaching down there for us. And so there's a lot going on in the Lord's work, and I thank you for just being a part of it. And sometimes that prayer seems like a little piece, but when everything can go smoothly, what a blessing it is to know that you hedged us up in prayer. And we know that, and I think the soul winners can feel that as well. And the first day, I knew people were praying. The first day, we were out for 2 hours, folks. By the time we stuffed all the tracks in the packets, we were out for 2 hours, and we won 14 souls in the first 2 hours. Amen. And so I know God's people were praying and going before us, and so continue to do that. Our preacher tonight is from way up above the Mason-Dixon line. All right, he's way up in the cold north, but he's my friend, and I appreciate him. And I got to know him because he likes and loves our pastor, Pastor Carter, amen? And anybody that loves Pastor Carter, I try to get to know them because I know they're got to be good people. And so Pastor Ryan Kawinga, you come and tell them exactly where you're at, my brother, because I don't know. It's in Michigan somewhere, amen? And you preach to us. Thank you, brother. God bless you, brother.
The water's right here.
Okay, good, okay. Good. All right, how many of you out there today were just thinking about tonight, the sweet hour of prayer? You're just thinking about a little bit tonight. You're just maybe closing your eyes, just thinking, yeah, that'll be sweet someday when we get a shout going through the air. I don't know about you, but I like to shout. And I talk fast. I'm from the north. And we have a sweet old lady at our church. And Miss Geraldine's been there longer than I have. I've been there going on 30 years. It'll be this year 30 years. And 11 years or 10 years youth pastor and now 12 years senior pastor coming up. And then come through the teen group there. And they didn't run me off then. And got married there to my wife, Julie, and have 5 children. And they didn't run me off yet. So I said, praise the Lord, allow me to preach another week. But I get excited. I do. I just don't get to come to church. Well, I guess shout through the air. Yeah, maybe someday, brother. But I was just thinking about that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, how we get to pray. And our sister had sung the song. I've never heard that song played when she sang on piano. I just a hard time to contain myself, run a few laps. I don't know what they do around here, but we get excited because we get to come to church. We don't have to. And I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, and I know when preacher talked to weeks and months ago that we had talked and prayed together, and he said, preacher, if you're on vacation, can you come down and pray, maybe preach at chapel again? And I said, man, that'd be awesome. I'd love to. Now, my wife, Julia, probably didn't like it so much, so rearranging our days a little bit, but she's gracious and kind. I appreciate having my family with me here this week, and they were in the gymnasium. The little ones were in the gymnasium last week. Boy, they weren't excited to hear me preach tonight. I went over there last, true story, I went there last week to pick him up from the gymnasium across the street there. We park over on the side. And I asked Kyle, he's 9 years old, he's sitting right there. He's sinking down in his chair. And I said, I get to preach next week. You want to hear me preach? And quickly, without thinking, he said, no. They're such an encouragement. I take them with me to encourage me sometime. But if you got your Bibles with you, Mark chapter 6, I'm Pastor Ryan Kawinga, Harvest Baptist Church, around the city there of Hudsonville and about Grand Rapids area. We're kind of a bedroom community. As you're turning there to Mark chapter number 6, we often travel. We miss usually 1 week every year, one Sunday a year. And that's not because they say, preacher, you need more, take off more. And that's just what we want to do. It works for us. But most every time that we miss, we're down here. We like it. And I've been trying for 3 years to get Brother Carter to come to our church. I believe he'd help us. And I told Pastor Parson, I said, I'll call you. I believe I'm going through the man of God, the preacher. I said, I'll call you here in a few months, see if we can work something out, see if he's healthy enough to do it. If he wants to, he said he would. But I know some preachers are really kind and real gracious, and they'll just say yes to anything, try to be a help to you. And so I appreciate you praying for us. Friday, we'll be traveling back to Michigan. Prayerfully, I looked at the weather. It's supposed to be 49 degrees on that day. That's a blessing for us. I'm telling you, you look at me weird. You really do. You look at me like, this guy's nuts. But I'm telling you, we left a couple weeks ago, a week and a half. It was 12. And we thought, it's not bad. It's not snowing. Praise the Lord. Let's just go. And I'm telling you, 49, that's a blessing. I'm telling you, I sit the hand of the Lord in that stuff. We can get back to what normal digging out of our ministries that we do. And kind of through the winter, we're used to it up there. But I covet your prayer. Friday, we'll be traveling, Lord willing, back to Michigan, traveling straight through. We're just weird that way. I know people say, preacher, you shouldn't. My dad hates it. My dad's 82. He's filling in for me tonight. He's a retired Baptist preacher. I said, Dad, I know it. He said, but you shouldn't drive all the way through. I said, well, praise the Lord, we can. We can still do that. And so if you'd pray for us, we'd appreciate your prayer. Mark chapter number 6, if you're able to stand out of respect of God's word, if we could do that tonight, read just but a couple verses, we'll get into our text. Mark chapter number 6, in verse number 45, is where Jesus constrains his disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side. Simple command, but we'll find. I told the teenagers and the young adults there in the college, I said, if you're not careful, you'll get something tonight. You'll get a nugget if you put your cup in the upright position. Many times we come to church and we're faithful, but we don't even know where our cup is. I don't know, what's all this cup talk about, preacher? You put that cup in the upright position, see what God will do. He might just pour you out a blessing tonight if you listen tight. Bible says there in verse number 45 of chapter 6, and straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go into the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. It's where Jesus was. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. God's always watching. He knows what you're doing. Knows what you're going through. He saw them toiling and rowing. The Bible says, verse 48, for the wind was contrary unto them. At about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. That's what God does. He takes care of stuff right now. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. There's a key there, isn't there? Be not afraid. Sometime we'll go through life. We're just biting our fingernails down to the core. We don't know if we can serve God that way. I don't know if I can do and give all that. He said, be not afraid. Look at verse 51. And when he went up, the Bible says, unto them into the ship. And the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not, here it is, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I'd like to preach a message on protecting your heart. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd be with the words that are spoken just for the next few moments. Lord, when we can grab hold to what I believe to be a very sometimes familiar passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that we would have the cup in the upright position of our life. And Lord, would you fall fresh upon us. And Lord, as we had sung about and hummed about, Lord, sweet hour of prayer. Lord, I just think it's going to be sweet to meet with you today. Lord, be with Brother Carter, Lord, as he's preaching. And Lord, just giving his best and his all as he's done for so many years. Lord, to you, Lord, I pray that you'd magnify it, give protection as he travels the soul winners. Lord, give him the words to say. Lord, as they stumble over verses, Lord, would you clean them up? Lord, I pray that you'd use them in a special way. Lord, they'd see you work. Lord, we're not interested to see what we can do, but we are interested to see what you can do. And Lord, I pray as our heart, Lord, may it be right. Pray that you'd speak to your people. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight who needs to get saved, Lord, may today be the day, may this evening be the evening, Lord, that they give their life to you and be Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Protect your heart. You say, preacher, my heart really is with Harvest Baptist. I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. My heart is with Harvest Baptist Church. I've been there a number of years of my life, and now I've just turned 44 this month, and I have a bunch of kids, and God is good in health and strength, but I'm telling you, my heart. You know where your mind is. The Bible says that your where your heart is, where your mind is, where that's where your treasure is going to be too. And he says, so protect these this avenue of thinking. He told his disciples a simple command. He said, I want you boys to get in the boat and I want you to go to the other side. Not a whole lot of spiritual truth there. Just a command that the Lord give them, something simple. Sometime we'll get into our Bible reading and say, God, that's so simple. I need something deeper. I need something more. And I'm telling you something, sometime we get past and we grow past the simple. Listen, church, we go past sometime. And listen to me, teenager, we go past just listening to our preacher and our parents and say, well, this is all God's got. But the simple things. Get in the boat, get in the ship, go to the other side. That's all he told them. That's all the instruction that was given. I found, and I've looked at this, and I've researched, I've preached this text a couple different ways, and I've given the Lord a couple years ago. Matter of fact, it's about 12 years ago God called me to preach, and about 10 years before that, God laid on my heart something, preaching to teenagers twice a week. And it was this. He said, don't ever preach the same message twice. I said, well, Lord, have mercy. A lot of good preachers will preach, you know, if it's a good message, God uses it and whatever. You tell them to do it again. God, isn't that going to be me? He says, no, I'm going to give you something fresh every time. And I preach this text, and perhaps in Sunday school, teacher, you've taught this text and you've dissected it a few different ways. But I'm going to tell you something today. We need to, as a Christian, to protect. There's a challenge here to protect your heart. I found but three points, if you will. If you want to title the message on protecting our heart, here it is. Number one, you have to get in. The first thing, number one, is found in verse 45. You got to get in. You say, preacher, I know that. I'm in Wednesday night service. And we're the faithful. And preacher, we're holding up the hands of those that are going soul winning. And our preacher that's going there daily. And he's going back. You going back tonight or next tomorrow morning? Going back this evening, he's a glutton for punishment. He's just going. He's rallying the troops. He's doing a great job. You ought to pray for your preacher. You know what I like that you did? You put in the bulletin an insert. It was white. I have prayed every day, God is my witness, every day twice for every name on there, and I didn't know a blessed soul. Brother Rodriguez came up to me, and he said, preacher, will you pray for me? He met me in chapel. I said, wonderful, but I'll forget you, brother. I said, underline your name, and I got one person that's underlined. And I said, I'd love to pray for you. And I'm telling you, they're on the front lines. You say, preacher, I'm here. I'm faithful. Is this not what you want me to do? God says there's a challenge tonight to those that are here to protect your heart. Number one, you got to get in. Far too many people, you know the people I'm talking about this evening, they play with church. If they have enough gas money, they'll be there. Hey, I'll be there. You can count on me if nothing better is going on. We got a few of those in our church that say, preacher, man, it's a lot going on and it's busy. It's a busy church. And they say, I'll be there. But sometime in our heart of hearts, we wonder, don't we? I don't know if they really will. Something better might come up, a better opportunity. Maybe God will use something in a different way, in a different light, that they'll get sidetracked. And we just don't know if they're going to come. You know the people we're talking about. God says you've got to get in. You say the first step to protecting my heart, you just got to be there and you got to be faithful. That's what the Lord said here. He had a challenge. Just get in. Just be where you're supposed to be. My Bible says here, you got to be part of it. Yeah, amen. Preacher's up here trying to, he done pulled most of his hair out already. He's pulling that thing out, buddy. He's just trying to come up with different things. And I like it. He's a man after, I'm a man, he's older than me a little bit, I believe. But I think he's laying down a good path that I want to pick up. You know that people pick up what you lay down? Where did they learn to speak like that? Well, I know. I have students that come to our church, and I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. You don't say that in church. And we're wondering where they got that from. But we sometimes know. And people are watching what you lay down. And he said, I'm going to run a bus. Matter of fact, we're going to run two. At the top of the hour, if you need some help to go vote right here, not far in our community, I like that. And he's trying to do different things. And I'm telling you, God says, you just got to get behind God's man. You got to get behind what's going on. A lot of it, I'm telling you, the devil will tell you, well, it don't matter, one vote. It don't matter. You know, I'll just cancel out somebody else's vote. So I'll get with somebody and say, if you don't go, I won't go and we'll be okay. Boy, that's kind of the lazier, lackadaisical way out of that thing. God says, you got to get in. So he told the disciples, he said, you just got to go. You just got to be faithful. You just got to be there. Jesus said, get into the ship. You just got to get in. Number two, give your trouble to the master. I like this one. Typically, I'll preach number one and two, and I'll get to number three. It's kind of more like an introduction to get to where we're going today. The meat of it usually is number three. But give your trouble to the master. Look at verse number 45. We'll see what's happening in our text. And straightway, that word there, if you're reading your Bible, now this will help you. Even the Bible students aren't here, but it'll help you. When you see the word straightway, you got to know that means immediately in Scripture. Jesus didn't say, hey, when you guys get around to it, when you get done fellowshipping, when you get done breaking a bread or whatever you're doing, hey, if you guys wouldn't mind, that's not what he was saying. The Bible says in straightway he constrained them. That means immediately he constrained. He told his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain. That's what Jesus does, get along with God. Intercessory prayer for us. The Bible says that he makes groanings or utters groanings that cannot be heard. I don't know what it sounds like. I don't know what it is, but I sure am glad that my Bible says we have an advocate. We have what we call a lawyer that goes on our behalf when we don't know how to pray and don't know when to pray. And God said, I'll go to him for you. Hey, you just sit there and I'll plead your case to the Father. I'm telling you, that ought to do something to you tonight on a Wednesday night that you don't have to pray just right. I've met so many teenagers going through the years. They say, preacher, I couldn't pray in church. You call me and pray in church, I wouldn't know what to do. I say, you don't have to worry about praying in church. God says he'll take that prayer that you do, sometimes feeble effort. I say, just do your best. Let God use you. Boy, gone is the pioneer spirit. We think we got to be polished and dignified and refined to be able to be used by God. I didn't see that verse. Matter of fact, the Bible says God used Moses. He killed a man, hit him in the sand. God said, I'll use you if you want to. I'll clean all that nonsense up and wash all that sin. God said, I'll use you. You don't have to be perfect to serve God. Or in this singing, blessed soul that'd be serving the Lord. But you got to give your trouble to the master. He went to a mountain. Look at verse 47. And when even was come, now they're in the ship for a little bit of time. The Bible gives us illustration before even was come. Now they're in the boat and they're traveling to the other side. They're rowing and they're toiling and they're maneuvering to the other side. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea. And he alone on the land. I don't know about you, in your darkest hour seems like you're in the middle, doesn't it? You're not close to any shore, any help. You know, I don't mind traveling a little ways offshore because I can swim. When you take a big ocean liner or a ferry across and it gets deep and it gets black and you can't see and you're wondering, if something were to happen, that's a long way to swim. That's where they were. The Bible says they were in the midst, right in the middle, right at the worst point possibly, humanly speaking, that something could go wrong in their life, and it did. We wonder often, why doesn't it go wrong? Why does maybe perhaps a trial of life go wrong when I have a lot of money? I could take care of that transmission like our dear preacher last week. He said, and then he hit a hog. We don't have hogs. I wish we did in Michigan. He totaled out his car after he fixed it up. And I begin to think about some things in life that's true in my life that perhaps would mirror that story. If you were here last Wednesday night, and why doesn't God just send something when I have a pile of money? It'd be okay. I'd just put a new transmission or a new engine in my car and things wouldn't be that bad. But why do you believe, maybe if you're thinking today and you've been saved for some length of time, many times a storm or when you're way out in the deep with not a lot of money, you don't have a lot of resources, then it happens. Or maybe you're depressed anyway. Maybe you're not feeling the greatest and you're not like having a mountaintop experience and then someone passes away in your family. You're like, God, I'm on thin ice already, and God, I'm really down myself, and you want me to give comfort to somebody else, and God, I can't comfort them. And we take all this burden on ourselves, and the Bible says these old boys right here were in the midst of the sea. In the midst of the sea. And he saw them in verse 48. Look at our text. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. Perhaps tonight you have some contrary news physically. We have a gentleman in our church that's suffering with cancer. He's a 5-year-old at home. He's 3 months younger than I am. They had removed a mass there in Ann Arbor, Michigan here last fall. They said, sorry, brother, we can't operate on you again for one fiscal year. You're not strong enough. They took a mass out of his body, his abdomen. And he's in pain. And praise the Lord, he's in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but he isn't feeling well. And he doesn't know what his future is going to be. I'm telling you something, the wind is contrary unto him. You say, preacher, what do you say? I have no idea. I don't know what to say when I talk about him. You don't want to talk about it all the time, you know, bring him down. You want to try to be an encouragement to him, and but yet not make light of what's going on. And you say, preacher, I don't have the words to say. There's contrary. My Bible says when they're in the middle of the problem land and they were a ways off from the shore, far as they could get from the other shore, the problem came. Oh, I'm telling you something tonight, friend, that wind gets contrary sometimes. And I can just picture these. I don't know how you read your Bible, but this is how I read my Bible. Sometimes my mind begins to wander. I'm not a guy that reads 15 to 17 chapters in one sitting. I can't do that. My mind just sticks somewhere and it begins to wander on whatever's being said. Perhaps you're similar to that at times. And I begin to think about verse 48, and he saw them. Praise the Lord, God sees you in your darkest hour and you're toiling and you're rowing there, and he wants you to give your trouble to the master, but he says something in verse 48, if you look to our text. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them. Now he puts them in the boat and tells them to go to the other side. Before it was even, the fourth watch of the night, I did a little bit of biblical research, and history shows and records that it's about 5 a.m. in the morning. They're out there rowing. They ain't going to bless the place. Their wind's contrary. They're just doing their best to stand still. Water's coming in. And I'm telling you, it's beginning to look a little crazy. And these boys are fishermen. They're not no stranger to the water. These guys were experienced fishermen. And they're out there, and they're going to get scared in a moment. But they're rowing. I'm telling you, I don't know what you would do. And I'm telling you, if I was Peter, I'd take that oar. I'd chuck it in that boat, and I'd say, God, I'm done. I can't do it. God, you know what I can do, and I can't do this. I've been rowing. It's about 5 a.m., literally in the morning. We've been doing it. We're tired. We're hungry. And their heart begins to wander. Now, I'm telling you, we're going somewhere with this. God said to protect your heart. I'm telling you, beware of a hard heart. You say, oh, it never happened to me. I'm behind my preacher. I'm behind my former pastor, Brother Carter. Man, we are on board. I met a lady. She told me Sunday, she said, preacher, that's my preacher. Sorry, Pastor Parsons, it wasn't you. She said, brother, I've been here for 49 years. Amen. That encouraged my heart. Far too many times you got people jumping around, flipping. I don't know if this is my church. And I understand this is the Wednesday night crowd. Praise the Lord. You be faithful. You be more faithful next week. So I don't know if I could. Good. That's where God wants you. But I'm telling you, he wants your trouble. And he sees them on the fourth watch of the night. About 5 a.m., they hadn't given up. They're persevering, buddy. I'm telling you, they're doing it. You say, why didn't they give up? Do you understand what the very next day, the very previous day, what it was? Look at a couple verses before our text. Look at verse 41. And when they had taken the five loaves, what? You mean that very day he sent them into the ship? I mean, these boys are cranked up for the Lord. They seen the Lord feed all these people and they witnessed it. Matter of fact, they took up the baskets that remained. Look at verse 41. And when he had taken up the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave to them, to his disciples, the ones that are still rowing, the loaves, and gave to the disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. That was the miracle. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that eat the loaves were about 5,000 men. They tell me, and you've probably perhaps researched a little bit, upwards of, if ladies and children are there, 20,000 would be something on the light number with one kid sack lunch. I'm telling you, these old boys that are rowing, they're cranked for the Lord. They're just saying, God, we can do it, we can do it, we can do it. But about the fourth watch of the night, they're getting tired. Physically, they're getting run down. They've had a storm come in their life, and now it's become personal with them. Think about it. Look at verse 49. Well, when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. You know why they cried out, don't you? They were scared. It was fear. They didn't know if they were hallucinating. They just thought they'd just gone slap crazy. They don't know what's going on. Now they're beginning to wonder, what are we gotten ourselves into? We just trying to listen to God. We just trying to listen to the Lord. And now look at the mess that we got ourselves into. If you're not careful, your heart will go there. And you'll begin, the Bible says, to charge God foolishly. And you'll say, God, this is as good as it gets. Now let me remind you something, church. The rewards are not given out down here. They're given out in heaven. You got to remember that. It's going to get hard. It's going to get long. That old wind, it comes contrary. Sometimes doesn't seem to stop. It's like one thing to the next. I can't get ahead. But preacher, am I doing it right? Because these boys were doing it right. They were listening to what God said. If you're not careful, we'll have a hard heart like the disciples. You say, preacher, I'm not. I'm behind my preacher. And I'm going to never get there. Praise the Lord. I hope you don't, but I'm telling you, it's possible. Because the disciples, the Bible says there in verse 51, the Bible says, for their heart was hardened. Why are you preaching a message tonight to protect your heart? My Bible says, give your trouble to the master. Look at verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. That's why they cried out. And immediately he talked with them. That's what God does. He'll try to help you. And saith unto them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And when he went up, boy, I like that. Now think with me. Now, we don't know what's not here. A lot of people speculate what was happening. Well, preacher, why was there 12 baskets? Perhaps it was for the 12 tribes. Perhaps it was for the 12 men that were there. One, a reminder, a full basket, a reminder how good God is, because you're going to need that, friend. They needed it the very next night. And I'm telling you, it's not a bad thing to remember the blessings that God's given you. We had in our church a couple years ago, we had a blessing book. We had a giant book on the back table. We encouraged people every week to put their name in just whatever blessing, whether great or small, whether a large blessing or a small blessing. We just called it a blessing book. I know we're real creative up there in the north. But we begin to read just the blessings that God's given. It'll help you when you think God is nowhere to be found. He left us. He's in some mountain. He's just on the shore. We're in the middle here in a problem. Where's the Lord in this one? We encourage you tonight, church, to protect your heart. Protect your heart. Give your trouble to the master. Number three, and lastly, God desires to have sweet fellowship with you. I like this. Found in verse 51. God desires to have sweet fellowship with you. God's got a plan for your life and a purpose. Many times we wonder what it is, don't we? Well, I just searched the Bible. I don't know what it is. Bless God. Preacher, you better tell me what it is. I don't know. And I'm telling you, sometimes we don't know. And it does get a little dark. And there is a dark hour. They tell me that it's darkest before dawn. I don't know if that's true because dark looks dark to me. I don't know how dark is. But I'm a deer hunter and I go out well before dark and before it gets light in the morning. And I don't think it gets any darker. Sometimes the temperature would dip just a little bit up there in Michigan, but I'm telling you something right now. They tell me it's darker before dawn, but I'm thinking to my simplistic thought, it's just dark. And God, it's dark. I can't see. I don't know what's in front of me. I know the Bible says that he'll be a light into my path, and I began to research that very thought. And I had a message on it some years ago, and a wayward traveler would have put a candle. Now, we wouldn't do that. We'd go to Walmart and buy a spotlight. We'd buy get some batteries, but they didn't have that. What they did have is candle wax, and they did have a wick, and they would attach a, what we would call a lantern to their foot. God says, I'll be a light into your path. Disciples, go to the other side. I'm going to just give you just enough light to see. All right, God, we're going. Got all these 12 baskets. Get in the ship. Woohoo! They're shouting it out, I'm telling you. God says, I'll be a light into your path. And that wayward traveler, he couldn't see what's over there. God says, you don't have to. You've got to see what's right here, the next step. All right. I'll see that next. God, I see. Okay, I'm wayward. All right. God, I just want to follow you. Sometimes we want to run. I'm guilty sometimes running in front of God. God's back here and takes a turn. I'm just out here running. Hey, we're doing this for the Lord. I'm thinking, God didn't even tell me to do that. But God says that I'll be a light into your path. And I research that. I encourage you to do some biblical research on the light of that traveler. God says, I'll illuminate just enough. And you might be going through something tonight's pretty heavy. You may be going through something tonight. I don't know about you, but in the north, suicide's rampant. Good people making bonehead decisions. You say, preacher, have you ever done funerals? Several. I'm telling you, there's some dark hours. I met with some families before the cops got there, and I was the first phone call. I still don't know why. Me and Miss Julie were there the first call. People are very near and very dear to us. I'm telling you, something got real quick, but a dark hour. What do you say? If you're called on tonight to go, what are you going to say? I don't know what to say either. You think, oh, but you're the preacher. We pay you to say something. I'm telling you something. God either has to fill you in that dark hour or we're miles away. But God says, I'll illuminate just that step. God says, just that step. Just that step. God wants to have sweet fellowship. He wants to have sweet fellowship with you. See, how do you know? Look at verse 51. We'll be done. And he went up into the ship. The ship was still in the storm. They were still contrary to the wind, and they were still toiling and rowing. And he said, I'm going to get into your problem. I'm going to get into where you are. Many times we want God, and, oh, if God was here, everything would be okay, but I don't see that in our text. God said, I'll get right into where you are, where you're living. Now, he ain't going to wallow in our sin and our filth, but I'm telling you, if you're in God's will and you're just trying to toil and roll and you're trying to be faithful to God, God said, I will come to where you are. It's what happened. And my Bible says he got into the ship before anything happened. Oh, sure, we know the story where Peter, the Bible says that got out of the ship and walked into him. Bible says he took his eyes off the Lord and he put him down a situation of the storm or the waves. He began to sink, but Jesus still reached his hand. Reached his hand and began to get in the boat. He said, come on, let's get in the boat. I'll go through that storm of life with you. And he went up, the Bible says, into the ship. The very problem in their lives that they thought were going to kill them, he said, I'm getting into that. He said, I want part of that. You say, preacher, I can't do this on my own. God said, I want to help you tonight. He said, I want to be your friend, and I want to be that one that sticks closer to you than a brother. I know sometimes we doubt that, don't we? Well, where was he last week? We charge God foolishly all the time. We really don't mean to. Well, where was God 6 months ago? If he'd have been there, man, things would have been better. My Bible says they had a hard heart. The disciples did. The Bible says, for they considered not the miracle of loaves. And if you don't protect your heart tonight, church, you get a hard heart and don't even mean to. I don't believe they set out on that voyage and say, hey, we're going to get rebellious and we're going to get sideways with the Lord. I'm telling you, I believe that that basket literally was floating around in that boat and perhaps hitting them in the shins and the very blessings that were with them the night before. I mean, I don't know about cloud nine or these expressions of riding high with the Lord, but I don't know if you could get any more cranked up for the be with Jesus, feed these thousands of people with some kid's sack lunch, him to tell you what to do, and you're excited just to do something meaningless. All right, we can row to the other side. We're fishermen. Praise the Lord, I can do that. That's something I can do. These little blessings, 12 baskets rolling around in that boat. Perhaps, we don't know, the Bible doesn't say if they poured out the fragments that remained and used them for a bailing bucket. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know they didn't consider how good God's been. And if you're not careful, you get there. And you won't mean to. You won't purpose in your heart. But if we don't protect our heart, we'll be in a position where we don't give God the glory. You say, yes, I do. I'm here. I'm present. Praise the Lord. That is the first step. You're in. You got to get in. God wants to get in that trouble, but he wants to have sweet fellowship. Protect our heart. God desires tonight to have sweet fellowship. Think about where you are today. Hey, go ahead. It isn't because of you. It isn't because how good you are God decided to save you, not somebody else. God, I know God's sovereign, but you got a free will. And I'm telling you what tonight, think about where you are right now, how God's used you and the blessings that he's given over the years. It's all because of him. Let me encourage you tonight. Maybe some need to ask God, God, I didn't mean to. I want to remember the good that you've done. And God, you can do it. And man, I'm faced with some things. And if you're not faced, I believe the preacher had alluded to this over the couple days and weeks I've been here. If you're not going through that storm, you just hang on real tight to the handles because it's coming. This isn't the millennium. There's some trouble. There's some contrary wind. You're going to have to know what to do. I don't know what to do. God's just have to take care of it. Well, doesn't that sound good? But why is that not reality sometime? They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Maybe tonight we just need to ask God, God, soften my heart. I want to be that clay the Bible talks about. You're the potter. I know that, but I want to be that clay. I just want to be used of you. As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed and preacher's going to come, have a word of prayer as the instruments come. I believe they often do. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you have your will and your way. Lord, in this situation, Lord, I believe the disciples didn't want to have their heart hardened. It wasn't their thought of the hour. But Lord, if we're not careful, don't protect it. Lord, I believe we'll get there as a Christian, good people. And God, I pray that you'd help us with it tonight. If the need of the hour is someone to get saved, Lord, I pray tonight that, Lord, that you'd have compassion upon them. Lord, that you'd do the work upon the hearts of your people, that they would respond as they ought to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Tonight, if God spoke to your heart, maybe God
spoke to you, said not maybe just about the hardness, but maybe you're in a storm and you need God's help tonight. We're going to let Brother Bert sing. You come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me.
Amen.
The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back.
Thank you, Brother Bert. Let me say this tonight. This is a good message for us tonight. Amen. You know, so many times when we face a storm and some things, and I was sitting there thinking as the preacher was preaching tonight, you know, those guys are hardened. And I could see Peter, you know, after John and his brother had done their rowing, Peter said, come on, Andrew, let's show them how it's done. And getting down and rowing as hard as they could row and thought that they could make some headway in this thing. But think about it, you know, when the miracle of the bread and all the things that happened the day before, I don't think either one of those men, those were big, strong men, and they weren't worried about starving themselves to death. They could walk somewhere and they could get their own self, but they gotten out in the middle of the sea and they couldn't get themselves out of it. They were in a place they couldn't work it out on their own anymore. And I just want to tell you folks, you know, if you're not there yet, you'll come to a place in this life where you'll find yourself and you can't fix it on your own. And you need God in your life. And I'm so thankful that he told them to go, and they were right where he told them to be, and they were out there, but he didn't leave them out there on their own.
Amen to that. Yes.
And I can tell you, testify in my life, amen, every time I was struggling and I was toiling and just rowing as hard as I could row, Jesus always walked up. Amen. He always walked up right when I needed him. He was always there. Amen. It's just he came in when I was done rowing. Amen. And I was ready to turn it loose to him. Amen. He always walked up. And I'll tell you what, church, if you're there, you know, we'd love to pray with you about it. I appreciate the message tonight. And I know this, that I thank God. I told my wife today, just, you know, God's just been so good to us. And I realize I just want to tell everybody about the one that's so good to me. But even when it's not, you know, there's been some times in our lives that they've been, I wasn't sure how God was going to do it. Amen, or how he's going to take you through. And you may be there, you may have just been there, but look for somebody else that's in the midst. Amen. God may use you to be the one that helps them get them out of that rowing situation that they're in. Amen. Let's pray together tonight. You come and tell the preacher you appreciate him and that you'll pray for him as he drives back. All right, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you for the meeting tonight. God, I pray that you would be with Pastor Carter as he drives back tonight. God, I pray you give him traveling mercies. God, I pray you'd be with this family. Thank you for Pastor Kawinga and his family stopping by, how they helped the college and how they preached tonight. God, give us a good message to help us to not let our hearts get hardened. God, so often God is making and doing miracles all around us, but until we get in that spot, we don't consider it. We don't realize what God's doing, and we let our heart get hardened. Help us, God. Help Landmark to stay fresh. Help our hearts to stay soft to what you're doing in our midst, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you, and honor you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Choir practice. Come on, choir. You're important. VIP.
Amen. Amen.